Whether your disability, you likely face barriers in your everyday life. At Neil Squire, we help break those barriers down by helping you access employment, technology, and the tools you need to live your life to the fullest. As a nonprofit organization, we empower people with disabilities all across Canada, and we are here for you too. Visit neilsquire.ca to learn more.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
There was an insurrection.
Shame on you, Joe Biden! Shame on you! Shame on you! You are genocide of Palestine!
As President Biden holds the largest one-night fundraiser in presidential campaign history, with Presidents Obama and Clinton at his side, raising over $25 million, protesters chanted inside and outside Radio City Music Hall here in New York. We'll hear some of their voices, then to Gaza, to talk to UNICEF spokesperson James Elder.
When I was there, I saw a room full of mothers and carers, not always mothers, some mothers have been killed, carers shuddering over children who are paper thin, absolutely paper thin, incubators full of babies who are born prematurely because of the stress on mothers, also malnourished.
But first, the remains of two of the six workers killed in the Key Bridge collapse are recovered.
The victims were identified as Alejandro Hernandez Fuentes, 35 years old, of Baltimore, and Dorlin Raniel Castillo Cabrera, 26 years old, of Dundalk.
We'll speak with the head of CASA, an immigrant rights group in Baltimore. He knew some of the men who died. Two of their members were killed, a Salvadoran father of three and a Honduran father of two. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The International Court of Justice has ordered Israel to ensure unhindered aid can get into Gaza. The legally binding order was issued after a request by South Africa, which brought the genocide case against Israel to the ICJ in January. The court noted in its latest order, quote, "Palestinians in Gaza are no longer facing only a risk of famine, but famine is setting in," they said. The judges also cite UN data, which finds, quote, "at least 31 people, including 27 children, having already died of malnutrition and dehydration," unquote. Israel's required to submit a report to the ICJ in a month showing how it has implemented the order. In northern Gaza, where the UN warns famine is imminent, the Kamal Adwan Hospital is seeing an increasing number of extremely underweight babies and children. This is Nurse Ahmed Al-Ali.
We received this case about an hour ago, a malnutrition case. We got used to receiving such cases daily. She is suffering as a result of a lack of nutrients she's receiving. You can tell that her age doesn't match her weight. She's 2 months old, and yet she's only 2 kilos and some fractions. My shift in the intensive care does not go without three or four cases of this kind, from bad to worse, and the result is death.
The official death toll in Gaza has now topped 32,600. In Syria, Israeli airstrikes near Aleppo killed some 40 people, according to the UK-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights. State media reports civilians are among the dead and injured. The attacks struck missile depots used by Hezbollah and reportedly killed at least five Hezbollah fighters. Israel and Hezbollah have engaged in near-daily skirmishes across the Israel-Lebanon border since October 7th. Hebrew University in Jerusalem has reinstated Professor Nedra Shalhoub Kevorkian, the internationally renowned feminist Palestinian professor who was suspended earlier this month after saying in an interview Israel was committing genocide in Gaza. Hebrew University reportedly did not demand she recount those remarks, but did reinstate her after she clarified her remarks on reports of sexual assaults during the October 7th attacks. Her suspension had been met with protests from students and faculty of the school. You can see our interview with Nedra Shalhoub Kevorkian at democracynow.org. Here in New York, President Biden appeared with former Presidents Barack Obama and Bill Clinton in a massive campaign fundraiser at Radio City Music Hall Thursday night. The star-studded event featured musical performances, and the conversation with the three presidents was moderated by The Late Show host Stephen Colbert. Outside the venue, thousands of activists gathered to protest U.S. support for Israel's war on Gaza.
It's an issue of them funding and facilitating this genocide that's carried out by Israel. They are supporting the death of over 40,000 people, and this is not the first time they've supported death and war. And people are sick of that. People are going hungry in this city. People don't have a place to sleep. And all the while, we're sending billions of dollars to Israel to kill Palestinians and to steal their land.
Inside the event, the largest presidential campaign fundraiser in history, activists repeatedly disrupted Biden's conversation, shouting, "Stop arming Israel, let Gaza live, and shame on you." We'll hear more of those voices later in the broadcast. A new Gallup poll found that 55% of Americans disapprove of Israel's military actions in Gaza, up 10 percentage points from November. Earlier in the day, activists held a vigil on the steps of New York City Hall. Organized by the Slow Factory, activists read out names of Palestinians killed since October 7th. This is Vivian Sansour from the Palestine Heirloom Seed Library.
The soil has become so toxic because of the amount of bombs, from white phosphorus to all kinds of other ammunition. And, you know, the infrastructure was destroyed, so there's also sewage. There's so many diseases. So a lot of our trees, which for us, our trees are part of our family. They are part of our kin, and they are being destroyed, too.
In voting news, a federal court ruled South Carolina can use a Republican gerrymandered congressional map for the upcoming U.S. House election. This despite the same court ruling last year it was unconstitutional and that it exiled more than 30,000 black residents from the Charleston area district. The U.S. Supreme Court has yet to issue a decision on the ruling's challenge, allowing it to stay in place at least through the 2024 elections. The seat is currently held by the Trump-endorsed Congressmember Nancy Mace, who's running for re-election. Meanwhile, in Florida, a federal court allowed a gerrymandered map that sidelines black voters to remain in place. The map was created in 2022 after Republican Governor Ron DeSantis set out to dismantle the Northern District of former Congressmember Al Lawson, a black Democrat. In other voting news, a Texas Court of Appeals has reversed the conviction of Crystal Mason, a black woman who faced 5 years in prison for submitting a provisional ballot in 2016, even though she was barred from voting due to a past felony conviction. Mason was unaware she was not eligible to vote, and the provisional ballot was never counted as a vote. Crystal Mason celebrated the win Thursday, saying, quote, "I was thrown into this fight for voting rights and will keep swinging to ensure no one else has to face what I've endured for over 6 years, a political ploy where minority voting rights are under attack," she said. To see our interview with Crystal Mason, go to democracynow.org. The Biden administration's restored a series of wildlife protections under the Endangered Species Act that were rolled back under President Trump. This includes reinstating certain protections for species classified as threatened with extinction and taking into greater consideration the threat of climate change when issuing protections. Sam Bankman-Fried, the disgraced founder of the now defunct cryptocurrency exchange FTX, was sentenced to 25 years in prison for fraud and conspiracy. District Judge Lewis Kaplan noted Bankman-Fried's, quote, apparent lack of any remorse, unquote, for defrauding FTX customers out of at least $8 billion. Bankman-Fried's lawyer said they plan to appeal. A federal judge has tossed Elon Musk's lawsuit against the watchdog Center for Countering Digital Hate, writing in his ruling, quote, this case is about punishing the defendants for their speech. Elon Musk sued the nonprofit after they reported that hate speech, racism, and misinformation soared on the social media platform X, formerly known as Twitter, after the billionaire took ownership of the site in 2022. The Center for Countering Digital Hate welcomed the lawsuit's dismissal, writing on X, quote, we'll continue exposing hate and lies on X and campaigning for social media bosses like Musk to be held accountable. To see our interview about this case with the head of the Center for Countering Digital Hate, go to democracynow.org. Colombia has expelled its Argentine diplomats as tensions between the Argentine president, Javier Milei, and his leftist Latin American counterparts reached new heights this week. Excerpts from a new CNN interview with Milei show the right-wing leader lashing out at Colombian President Gustavo Petro and Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador and attacking Venezuela and Cuba.
The butchery in Venezuela is unheard of. Same with the jail that is Cuba. There are other cases that are on their way to becoming like Venezuela, such as Colombia with Mr. Petro. We cannot expect much from someone who was a murderer, terrorist, and communist.
President Milei was referencing Colombian President Petro's history as a former member of the M19 rebel movement. Milei also called López Obrador ignorant. Among other things, the leaders are at odds over their support for Israel's assault on Gaza. Milei is a staunch supporter of Israel, while Petro earlier this week threatened to sever diplomatic ties with Israel if it ignores the UN Security Council resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. And Saudi Arabia was chosen to chair the UN Commission on the Status of Women. Rights groups expressed outrage at the news. Amnesty International's Deputy Director of Advocacy, Shireen Tadros, said, quote, Saudi Arabia's abysmal record when it comes to protecting and promoting the rights of women puts a spotlight on the vast gulf between the lived reality for women and girls in Saudi Arabia and the aspirations of the commission, unquote. Earlier this week, Amnesty International released a report condemning a leaked draft of Saudi Arabia's first written penal code, which Amnesty says criminalizes free speech, homosexuality, and abortion, and fails to protect women and girls from all forms of gender-based violence. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We begin today's show in Baltimore, where divers have recovered the remains of two of the six workers who were missing and presumed dead after the Key Bridge was struck by a massive cargo ship Tuesday and collapsed under them without warning. The men were migrants from Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. They were filling potholes and had reportedly taken a break in their vehicles. This is Maryland State Police Superintendent Roland Butler.
Shortly before 10 a.m., divers located a red pickup truck submerged in approximately 25 feet of water in the area of the middle span of the bridge. Divers recovered two victims of this tragedy trapped within the vehicle. The victims were identified as Alejandro Hernandez Fuentes, 35 years old, of Baltimore, and Dorlin Raniel Castillo Cabrera, 26 years old, of Dundalk.
Since the bridge collapsed, just two workers' bodies have been recovered. On Wednesday, the family of Menor Suazo Sandoval, one of the men still missing, said they were in tremendous agony and asked officials to continue their search. This is his brother, Martin Suazo.
We were informed that the government had decided to stop the search to begin removing debris from the bridge. It means that the search for bodies is being put on the back burner. We understand that the U.S. government is losing millions of dollars because the boats are not moving, but we believe that they should not forget the suffering of the families and the four victims whose bodies have not yet been found. We're still waiting with faith and hope that they will find the body of our brother so that we can start the repatriation process, which is what we are most interested in.
For more, we go to Baltimore, Maryland. We're joined by Gustavo Torres, executive director of CASA, an immigrant rights nonprofit founded in 1986 to build solidarity with those impacted by the U.S.-backed violence in Central America. Two of their members were killed in the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse, a Salvadoran father of three named Miguel Luna and a Honduran father of two named Menor Yasir Suazo Sandoval, whose brother you just heard. Gustavo, welcome to Democracy Now! Our deepest condolences on your loss, the CASA members and the whole community.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
Can you talk about the members of CASA who you knew, what they did, what these men were doing on the bridge, filling potholes? Tell us the story of these workers before they died.
Well, these two construction workers were longtime members of our CASA family, adding an even deeper layer of sorrow to this already tragic situation. Miguel Luna was from El Salvador. He left at 6:30 p.m. Monday evening for work and since has not come home. He was a husband, a father of three, and has called Maryland his home for over 19 years. You know, Miguel loved soccer and helped the community. He was very engaged in CASA's activity. And Minor Suazo Sandoval, a second CASA member impacted by the tragedy, migrated from Honduras over 17 years ago. And he, alongside his brother Carlos, were active members of CASA as well. I remember Carlos mentioned that he was always so full of joy and brought so much humor to his family. He was a husband and father of two, and actually his family was getting up for his birthday celebration on April 27. So they were extraordinary people engaged in CASA's activities, engaged in so many events that we have in Baltimore region area.
You've said that Menor was about to celebrate his 35th birthday on April 27th?
That is correct, yes.
The family was going to gather?
Yeah, that was the idea, to celebrate something really great with him.
Can you talk about the risks they face as construction workers and the large immigrant population of the greater Baltimore area?
The construction workers are absolutely essential. They work on the night shift to repair bridges and roads that millions of people use every day to get to work through the cities and towns. Minor and Miguel are stories of the millions that are home to Baltimore and so many other cities and countries around our country. And you know what? But this is not an isolated tragic incident. Almost a year ago, to the day of the bridge collapse, also right there in 695 in Baltimore Highway, six workers were killed, and three of them were Latinos. Again, that is the kind of situation that we face all the time with these families because, you know, after lodging, construction is the most dangerous job in the United States. Immigrants face higher injury and death rate of the job than not immigrants. And they are significantly less likely to have health insurance. So we have around, in the Washington, D.C. area and the Baltimore, we have around 130,000 immigrants that work in construction. They are the people who every single time make a difference in the families and in our communities.
The governor, Wes Moore, announced that they have, I think, requested and gotten approval from President Biden for $60 million to start the rebuilding of the bridge. Can you talk about what's happening for these families?
Well, right now, we are working with these families. Of course, they request privacy in the middle of this crisis, and we are protecting and in solidarity with the families. But they face big challenges right now, financially and also emotionally. So that is the reason why we, with other nonprofit organizations, are working with them to make sure that we provide as much as we can in coordination with the city and with the state. And in the time when there is so much hatred against the immigrant community, we look to the quiet leadership of Minor and Miguel and appreciate how they uphold our society so that Americans can live comfortably. That we believe that is so very important, that we keep protecting these families, that we keep helping these families as much as we can. And that is the reason why we are calling President Biden, that it's time to provide TPS for those families and these communities. TPS, as you know, is a temporarily protected status to provide legal opportunities to these families and to these communities that work really, really hard, because immigrants like Miguel and Minor are building bridges to connect communities, not building walls to divide them. And I will tell you today that always we honor them and their sacrifice.
I'm wondering if you can comment on the larger immigration debate in this country. You have President Trump once again talking about immigrants as not being human in presidential campaign fundraising events, poisoning the blood of this country. And then you have this competition between the Democrats and the Republicans when it comes to the southern border around shutting it down, the Democrats adopting the Republican proposal, and then Trump not wanting it to go forward, even though it was Republican. And so Congress didn't pass the Republican plan that the Democrats had supported. Your thoughts now are on what we can learn as these hard-working men died on the bridge.
Totally. Unacceptable what, of course, Trump, we expect that and worse from him. But now we also receive the same kind of treatment from the Democratic Party. That is totally unacceptable. When the Congressional Budget Office estimates that U.S. economy will grow up to $7 trillion over the next 10 years, thanks in part to the immigration. Actually, we don't have to wait for the future to see how immigrants are extracting the U.S. economy. In 2021, immigrants paid $525 billion in taxes, money that helps to support the nation's school, Medicaid, and Social Security. What we need right now is comprehensive immigration reform. We don't need more attacks against the immigrant community. We don't need more anti-immigrant and racist attacks. The way how we are seeing right now, what we need is that both parties come together and pass comprehensive immigration reform to resolve the crisis that we face in this nation and to make sure that the nation keep benefit from these extraordinary immigrants like Miguel and mine.
Gustavo Torres, I want to thank you so much for being with us, Executive Director of CASA. Two of CASA's members were killed in the Key Bridge collapse. Millions of enslaved people who also built this country together with immigrants, a point worth remembering as we mourn those immigrant laborers on the Key Bridge. The bridge was named after Francis Scott Key, since while watching the British Navy bombard Fort McHenry in 1814, not far from where the bridge was built in the 1970s, Key wrote the poem that would become the national anthem. His poem has four stanzas, the first made famous as the Star Spangled Banner. Key was a slave owner and denounced those who fled enslavement in 1814 to fight against the United States for the British, who promised the enslaved people freedom in return. No refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave, Key wrote in his poem, words left out of the national anthem, but which nevertheless noticeably rhyme with land of the free and home of the brave. J. just an interesting fact as this key bridge is rebuilt. When we come back, as President Biden holds the largest one-night fundraiser in presidential campaign history, with Presidents Obama and Clinton raising over $25 million, protesters chant inside and outside Radio City Music Hall. We'll hear some of their voices. And then to UNICEF spokesperson James Elder in Rafah. Stay with us.
Amor de mis amores, reina de mis días, te entregué todos mis temores, te entregué toda la vida, te cultivé como un árbol bien plantado, te eché agua todos los días. Pero no echaste raíces, y esas flores eran de mentira. Oye, amor de mis amores, qué trampa es la vida. Voy a morir llorando, voy a morir sufriendo. Después
Love of My Loves by Making Movies in Florida, Tolowachi. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Pro-Palestine protesters disrupted the largest one-night fundraiser in presidential campaign history here in New York yesterday. The star-studded event at Radio City Music Hall in Manhattan featured President Biden alongside former Presidents Barack Obama and Bill Clinton, raised a record $25 million for Biden's reelection campaign. More than 5,000 people paid to attend, with tickets costing up to $500,000 each. For $100,000, guests could get a picture with the three U.S. presidents taken by the renowned photographer Annie Leibovitz. Celebrities in attendance included Queen Latifah, Mindy Kaling, and Lizzo. The main event was an onstage conversation with the three U.S. presidents moderated by late-night talk show host Stephen Colbert. But just 10 minutes into their conversation, Biden was talking. Protesters began disrupting the event, calling on the president to stop arming Israel and to call for a ceasefire in Gaza.
We had no president on January the 6th. There was an insurrection.
Shame on you, Joe Biden! Shame on you! Shame on you! You are genocide in Palestine! And no amount of vulgar chant that you do will change the billion that you are doing! You! There's blood!
Blood on your hands!
Permanent victory in Palestine. But I do believe.
Are people watching at home? Excuse me, Mr. President. For people who are watching at home on TV, you may not be able to hear the protesters here. So, hold on a second here.
Palestinians are dying right now because of your actions. Palestinians are dying right now because of your actions. Because of what you're doing. Because of the things that you're doing.
Shame. Stop brutalizing him. Stop brutalizing him.
The protesters were all physically escorted outside. The event disruption was organized by a coalition including Adla Justice Project, Palestinian Youth Movement, and Jewish Voice for Peace, and the Sunrise Movement. Meanwhile, outside the event, thousands took to the streets to protest President Biden's support for Israel's assault on Gaza. Protesters gathered at Bryant Park and marched up to Radio City Music Hall. Democracy Now! Was there and spoke to some of the protesters about why they were there.
Currently, we are working on the Leave It Blank New York campaign for the upcoming primary happening April 2nd on Tuesday.
We are asking people to leave it blank because there is no committed, uncommitted option in New York City. So we rather tell them to scan their ballot as is, and that will then count as uncommitted to show Genocide Joe that we are not going to stand while we watch our brothers and sisters being genocided.
It's Jenna. I am a first-generation American Palestinian, and we have had enough. My family's voted Democrat for as long as we've lived in the U.S. It's heartbreaking. We feel guilty, and we feel awful. I feel like I voted for my own people's genocide. And I'm